Okay, we are on Hey Aleph and Mabez by the two dots. Just 3 minutes on what we ended off with yesterday, and that is the mitzvah of eating on Erev Yom Kippur. Okay, we spoke about this in Shabbat Shuva. There are two major approaches in terms of this mitzvah of eating on Erev Yom Kippur. Rash here, and expanded upon by the Rush here in this Gemara. These are the important makaros, and that is that it's a din of hachana. Again, this is all Tamei HaMitzvahs, but it's a din of hachana. That is a Kadosh Baruch Hu knows that we're going to have to fast. He was Michazdo Yizbarach. He gave us a mitzvah to eat, so that what we're going to be doing anyway is going to be considered a mitzvah. That is number one, chesed. On the other hand, and just chesed and hachana. There is another version of the hachana approach that we saw in the Shibali Haleket, where the Shibali Haleket says, if you eat more on Erev Yom Kippur, the inu is going to be harder because of the contrast. The more you eat now, so your body's not going to be used to fasting, and therefore it's going to be even harder. So that's also a different approach to hachana, where he said, and therefore it's supposed to be harder for us. That's the Shibali Haleket. But either way, it's also, the common denominator is hachana. While the Shari Tshuva, Rabbeinu Yonah, Shari Tshuva seems to say that no, it's not hachana, but it's more of Yom Kippur is a yantif, and we have to have a suda's yantif on every yantif, but what are we supposed to do? Yom Kippur is a fast day, so therefore we have the suda's yantif, the suda's Yom Kippur on Erev Yom Kippur, and that is how we're yotzei that mitzvah. His assumptions being, number one, that there is a mitzvah of simchas yantif on Yom Kippur, and B, you can have and be yotzei the suda of Yom Kippur on Erev Yom Kippur. Those are two assumptions of his, but that's what he says. We saw a number of differences, nafkamina, between these two approaches. What about women? Rabbi Akiva Eiger asks in a shuva, Simin Tezayin. What about the women have a chiyav in the mitzvah of achila on Erev Yom Kippur? So again, if you say it's a din in the su'uda, so it's possible that they don't. Again, just like many of the su'udos are mitzvahs of Zman Grama, and they're p'turos, so too, this su'uda, mashiachet, if it's a din in hachana, so women have to fast. So if women have to fast, so they also have the mitzvah of eating on Erev Yom Kippur. Number one. Number two, what if the person is a chole, and they're not going to eat anyway? They're not going to fast anyway. It's not going to fast anyway, so they're not going to have to eat Mishum Hachana. But if it's in the Sudas, then maybe it doesn't matter if they're going to fast or not. So then they will have to. Other Achorim say, no, even if they're supposed to fast, maybe Kadosh Baruch Hu will bring Yeshuos Fidachamos overnight, and therefore they should eat anyway, because maybe they will be well enough to fast. That is, that's a second Nafkamina. Do you have to have bread on Erev Yom Kippur? You know, we all hear all these stories about the Gdolim who sucked on sucking candies all day. So is that really the mitzvah, or do you need pas? So Menachas Chinuch says he doesn't see anywhere that you would need pas for this mitzvah of eating on Erev Yom Kippur. But again, the Sdei Chabad says maybe it's totally on these two issues. If you say it's Su'uda, he says it the opposite way, but most Achronim think that this is the more pashut. If you say it's Su'uda, then every Su'uda needs pas. Every Su'uda needs bread. Masha Eikin, if you say it's Din Achana, then anything could get you ready for the fast. What about the night before? Another nafkamina that the Gra talks about. Is there a mitzvah to eat on the night before Erev Yom Kippur? Lail test Tishrei. So if you say it's in Hachana, so that might be too early. You know, eating last night is going to make me not hungry tomorrow. You know, so that's a little too far. But if you say it's in the Suda, so every Yatif, you know, starts the night before. Okay, so these are some of the issues that come up. Yeah?
It's hard to read into the pasuk, though. You just eat the night.
So it's easy or hard to read into the pasuk? So, but it's inu, but it's an eating that's considered inui. Right, so that erev is the night of the 10th. That erev at erev. So it's hard, again, the whole thing is hard to fit into the pasuk. Okay, just to end off with one thought from Rav Sternbach, where Rav Sternbach writes in Moadim Uzmanim, he writes, "Tamid hamitzvah niru l'mo mizeh yisod chadash." There's a yisod that we can learn from this. The fact that some Rishonim say that the mitzvah of eating on Erev Yom Kippur is to prepare us for the fast. He said it's unbelievable. "Tamid hamitzvah la'anos l'sagim es nafshu k'deshi yuchna l'vav of yashav Hashem." Every other fast day, we just had Tisha B'Av a couple weeks ago, and Shavuot B'Tam, and all other fast days throughout the year, we're supposed to feel like we're fasting. We're supposed to feel uncomfortable. And in order to motivate us to think about, hey, why am I so uncomfortable? Oh, the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. Why was the Beis HaMikdash destroyed? Why was the Beis HaMikdash besieged? Why were the walls broken? And we'll realize Sinas Chinam and other actions, and in that way we'll be able to do tshuva. The Alkein, that's why there's no reason to eat a lot, and there's no mitzvah to eat a lot on Erev Tisha B'Av. We do, because we don't want to be sick, but there's no mitzvah. Masha'ekin on Yom Kippur, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Dafka commands us to eat a lot, so we don't feel uncomfortable on Yom Kippur. Why? Because the point of Yom Kippur is not just to feel bad. It's to be like Malachim. So we'll be able to get close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And we have to do everything we can so we can be in a state that we can be like Malachim. So, and that's why we have to eat. So we feel well enough, even though we're not fasting, because we have to be Domal Malachim. Not because we're supposed to feel bad. But once we feel, that's why we have a mitzvah to eat on Erev Yom Kippur. V'ataima ulai mitzvah sator shenokal harbish lo nargish chomer hatzom lo hochiach ba'alil mizet suras mitzvah Yom Kippur she'e mitzvah som Yom Kippur lahargish tzar she'adarabah mitzvah sabori lecho v'lishos harbi be'erev shelo nargish tzar, because the mitzvah is to be dome l'malachim. So that is why the mitzvah that we're going to do Bezrim in a couple of weeks will be a different type of fast day than the other fast days throughout the year. Okay, let us now continue with the two dots on Pei Aleph Amud Beis. Achal ochlin she'ein ru'uyin la'achila. So you remember back in the Mishnah yesterday, the Mishnah said if I eat something that's not fit to be eaten, that's not royal achila on Yom Kippur, so then I'm pater. Or if I drink masha that's not royal l'shtiyah, I'm pater. Says the Gemara now, Amar Rava, kas pilpili b'yamat kippurei pater. If I cuss, we had yesterday the verb cuss means eating something raw, eating something in an unusual manner. Koses. Kas za pilpili, if I eat raw peppers, b'yamat kippurei pater. A pater, because that is not called an achila. Rashi says, ein zed derech achilaso, I don't get any yeast of hadas when it comes to kas pilpili, and therefore I'm pater. Kas zan gavila b'yomat kippuri, if I eat ginger on Yom Kippur, pater, I'm also pater, because nobody eats raw ginger. Meisve, is that really true that nobody eats ginger or peppers? Baraltem Arla also has Piryo. The pasuk says regarding the mitzvah of Arla, we know the first 3 years that I have a fruit tree, I'm not allowed to partake of it. It is closed off to me. Arla, Arel means there's a block there, there's a mechitza, like the Arla, you take off the Arla, there's a mechitza between the you have to take off the foreskin in order to uncover what's supposed to be uncovered. So Zotu, by Arla, it's closed off, it's covered, it's separated from me. So by all time, Arla so is Piryo, so you have to make your fruit Arla the first 3 years, you have to just let it lie fallow, you're not allowed to be nehenef from it at all. Only the fourth year is Ravai, and I take that to Yerushalayim, but the first 3 years is nothing. Don't I know when it says you're fruit that we're talking about a tree that produces food? Elamata Malomar, why does it say the words Eitz Ma'achal Hu? Lomar, to teach me, Eitz Ma'achal. Eitz Ma'achal, to teach me that this din of Arlo also applies to a tree that tastes like its fruit. Eitz Shetam Eitzo Piryo Shaveh. With the tree and the, it's a drasha, obviously not the pshat, but the tree and the fruit taste the same. Havi Omer, what's that? That's a pilpulin. That's the pepper. This teaches me that pilpulin is included in the mitzvah or the iser of Arla. And the Ein Eretz Yisrael Chazira Klum. And also, by the way, this also teaches me an agadic idea that there's everything in Eretz Yisrael, even trees and fruit that taste the same. We read a couple weeks ago, as it says, Eretz Yisrael is not lacking anything. Question mark. What's the question? You see from this brisa that pilpulin are chayav in arla, that it's a pre. So how can you say it's unusual to eat it? How can you say it's not, you're going to be pater if you eat it on Yom Kippur, right? It's considered a meichel. It's considered a food. So lokasha, no, there's a difference. Haber retivusa haviyaveshta. Dry or moist pepper. Dry pepper is inedible. Dry pepper, if you eat it on Yom Kippur, you're going to be pater. It's not a good thing, but it's not also midaraisa. Mashaki, what's the price we're talking about by Arla? That's talking about retivusa, if it's still moist, if it's not drying out, so then it would be mutter to, I'm sorry, it would be asr to eat, because it would be called a maichel. Amalur Avinalur Meimar, continuing this discussion about inedible items. Yom Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman says, "Hi himuta de asimi be hindui." This himuta, what's himuta? It is a ginger mixture. It's a mixture with ginger and honey, some type of dip that comes from be hindu. Sharya says the Rav Nachman, it's mutter. What is it mutter from? So Rashi explains there are two heterim here. Number one, it's mutter mishum bishul akum. Shalakim, we know, is an Isser Drabanan. The Rabbanan made a number of rules regarding food. to separate between the Bnei Yisrael and the Umos HaOlam. Bishal Akum, Pas Akum, Yai Stam Yenum, also connected. But a couple of halachas. So Bishal Akum is anything cooked by a non-Jew, I'm not allowed to partake of, even if I'm watching him the whole time, or her. And even if I see exactly they're using kosher ingredients, so what? This is not about kosher or not kosher. This is about Isuri Ta'arobes. That was the motivation of this halacha. So that is a halacha that's quoted in Shulchan Aruch, and everybody holds a Bishul Akum. Everybody has to hold a Bishul Akum. Pas Akum, baked goods, or Tosas already says. That Zegzera didn't catch on, and that's why many don't hold a Pas Akum. And many eat Entimins and Steladoros, and they're not makhmed a Pas Yisrael. But Pas Akum, but Bishul Akum, everybody has to be makhmed. That's a halacha. That's Mefurish. The issue is, though, that there are three major heterim when it comes to Pas Akum. And any one of these heterim are enough to allow a non-Jew to cook something for me. What are the three heterim? Number one is what's most commonly used, and that is, as long as a Jew takes part in the process somehow, if a Jew turns on the ovens, if a Jew, this is for Ashkenazim at least, Sephardim might have different rules, but the Ramah Paskins, as long as a Jew turns on the oven, if a Jew stirs the food before it's edible, if a Jew takes part in many of these restaurants or pizza stores, the Jew turns on the ovens in the morning, right? You see all non-Jewish workers behind the counter. How is that possible? What about Bishul Akum? The answer is, it's because of the Jew that turned on the oven in the morning. Or if there's a pilot light on the oven, the Jew turned it on 5 years ago. That's also good enough. But that is the first heter, if a Jew takes part in the process. Number two, it has to be a chashiv type of food. What's called ne'echal al shulchan malachim. It has to be a chashiv, so that's the most hazy, you know, how do you determine what's chashiv, what's not chashiv? Would it be served at a wedding? Would this food be served at a wedding? So many foods would be served at a wedding. Scrambled eggs, you go to a bar mitzvah on a Sunday morning, so they might serve scrambled eggs there as a brunch. You know, noodles, it's already more, well, they serve pasta. Certain pastas, so that's an unclear lemaisa how to take that heter. But the third one is what Gora's talking about here. And that is anything that could be eaten raw, which does not need the cooking, so then that does not have the isra bishul akum. If a non-Jew warms up water for me, right, boils water for me, 100% mutter, lechan chila, I can tell it to boil water for me. Why? Because water can be drunk without the cooking. Water can be drunk raw. So that is why, or let's say a non-Jew makes coffee. You walk into a Starbucks, they make coffee. You have to be worried about the kashrus. But once the kashrus issue is there, then a non-Jew can make coffee for a Jew. Why? Because the ikar ingredient is water by coffee. And water is nechal kashuchai. It's eaten raw. So whenever anything can be eaten raw, so then there is no problem of bishul akum. So that's what the Gemara here is saying. This himuta could be eaten raw. This ginger could be eaten raw. And that's what there's no problem of bishul akum. Yeah.
There's no problem with pasak.
We're not talking about Pasakim, we're talking about Bishul Akum. Pasakim is a separate issue. Pasakim are baked goods. So Tosfos already says, quoted in Shulchan Aruch, that Gzeira did not catch on even in the early times of the Gemara. So there's a rule that Gzeiras are only effective if it caught on by Rov Klal Yisrael. But that already, it was too hard for them. Bread was a staple of their society. They couldn't handle it. So therefore, they didn't catch on then. So that's why we could be many or Mako to eat Pasakim. The Shulchan Aruch quotes, maybe during Aseret Yemei Tshuva to be machmir during those 10 days, to only eat Pas Yisrael, to eat the kosher brands, but they're all kosher, but to eat the Pas Yisrael brands. Okay, so that's what number one. It says it's the bay. This mixture is mutter mishum pas akum. Then Rashi adds that it's also mutter mishum bishul akum. Then Rashi adds it's also mutter mishum giule nachrim. Giule nachrim means the non kosher taste of the pots of the non-Jews. That's right, we're talking about treifas. So why is this mutter? So Rashi quotes, because it's no same tam levgam, because it gives off a negative taste. Anytime that something gives off a negative taste, it ruins the taste, so that is mutter. So the Gemara is saying that any this mixture of himlata, whenever any non-kosher pot is cooked in a non-kosher pot, that taste from the pot always negates and makes worse the himlata taste. That's why it's going to be mutter. That's what the Braisa says. It's mutter mishum bishul akum. It's mutter mishum giule nachrim, non-kosher taste. Umavarkan ala bari priyadama. And also you make a bari priyadama on this mixture. Question mark, what's the kasha? It seems, this Braisa says that ginger can be eaten raw. What do you mean can be eaten raw? We just said if you eat ginger on Yom Kippur, you're putter. That it said that it's not normal. And here we're saying it can be eaten raw. By the way, I just forgot to mention, the some of these issues of bishul akum could change over time. Over society, depending on what society does. A great example is the Nechel Shuchai sushi. Right? It used to be 10, 15 years ago, nobody ate sushi outside of Japan, outside of the Far East. But now, the real sushi, with the raw fish. So now more and more people are eating sushi. So it could be that the halacha for a fish by Bishul Akum, the halacha doesn't change, but the application of the halacha is changing because the mitzvah is changing. So the mitzvah is changing. So it could be the nechel shulchai issue about a non-Jew cooking fish for me, you know, might be more makel today because many people eat raw fish. So it has, says the Gemara, how could we say ginger is patar and Yom Kippur? You see, it could be in raw. So again, lokasha harbor tivusa habi abeshta. Depends if it's moist or dry. Moist is edible. Dry is not edible. Tan Rabbanan, weiter in this type of issues, achal alei kanim patur. If I eat the leaves of reeds, alei kanim patur, those are called inedible. Lulve gefanim chayiv. But if I eat the lulavs, the stalks of the vines, those are edible and you're chayiv. Eloin lulve gefanim, which lulavim are edible? Amr bislav migad la kol shel liv levu mirashana vadiyavik purim. Very recently sprouted lulavs. Right, it's Yom Kippur now. I'm talking about eating a lulav on Yom Kippur. So if it's sprouted over the past 10 days, so then it's very, very moist, and those are considered edible. Rav Kahana Amar, no, a little more flexible. Kol shloshim yom. As long as it's sprouted over the past month, so those lulavs are considered edible. Tani Gavas Rabbi Yisrael Bigat Law. There's a price that supports him. Achal alei kanim patur v'lulei kvanim chayiv elin lulei kvanim kosher lulav mirashana va'ad yom ha-kippur. Okay, next. The next few items that are called inedible in our Mishnah. Shasat siro murius patur. The Mishnah has said, if you eat fish brine, you just take a cup of fish brine and drink and eat and drink it, or murius, another type of brine, patur, your patur. Nobody eats that. Maybe it could be mitztari for the fish, like we had earlier. You could have a dressing, you could have a sauce on food to be mitztari to the shear, but if you eat it plain, that's not called eating. And therefore, you're going to be patur on Yom Kippur. Says the Gemara, the Mishnah only says sear brine, pachomets v'chayiv, but it doesn't say vinegar. So what happens if you drink plain vinegar? So it's mashta your chayiv, because the Mishnah would have said that too. So masis and mani Rebbe he. The Mishnah must be according to Rebbe. The Tani Rebbe Omer chometz meishev as a Rebbe Omer chometz meishev as a nefesh. The Mishnah, which does not mention vinegar, which is mashta that vinegar is chayiv if you drink it on Yom Kippur, must be like Rebbe who says that vinegar restores the soul. And vinegar is good for you, and it's considered an ochel. Darshav Gido bar Menashe mibiri darnash. Ain halacha k'Rebbe. Rav Gila once got up and said, the halacha is not like Rebbe, meaning vinegar is no problem on Yom Kippur. After he got up and made that psak, l'shana nafki kuli alma, bazga v'shasu, chalu. Right, everybody started talking about this psak. Oh, you heard what he said? Vinegar is not called food. So everybody went and started drinking vinegar on Yom Kippur. And they started going out and they said, oh, this is great. What a rabbi we have. You know, he allows us to do this. Unbelievable. So he all of a sudden, he realizes what's happening. Shamar Rav Gidol v'ikner. Rav Gidol realized, he hears about it, and he's very makbid. Amar. So he got up the next Shabbos and he gave another drasha. He says, Eimar da Amri anodi eved. When did I say my psak? If you have to, if you're stuck. But the eved. L'chachil mi'amri. Did I tell you to go out and buy it? L'chas v'shalom. Eimar da Amri anod purta. When did I say so? A little bit. Tuba miyamri, a lot you could drink. Emer to amri anochai. Mazug miyamri. I said you could drink it plain, but you're diluting it with other things to make it more palatable. That's not proper. So we already see in the Gemara, people were misinterpreting psakim that they got from rabbis. It's not only Rabbi so-and-so told me this. You call that rabbi? He's like, I don't know what the guy's talking about. I never said that thing in the at all. Oh, but you told me. I said, in this circumstance, because you were having 25 guests for Shabbos, and you didn't have this, and this bro. So already, Bizman HaGemara, people were running with psakim. So it's not a new concept, but we always have to make sure that we understand exactly what the rabbi is telling us, and not misquote it, and not misuse it. That's also, the rabbi has to give the right psak, but we have to listen to the psakim correctly, what the rabbi tells us. Okay, next Mishnah, Daf Pebes. Masnisa. The next Mishnah, a little piece of Gemara, is about the issue of chinuch, about children fasting on Yom Kippur. Hatinokos ein ma'anin osan b'yom kippurim. Unusual lashon. Tinokos ein ma'anin osan. Right, the Mishnah is playing off the pasuk in the Torah of inui. But what is ein ma'anin osan? You don't ma'anin cause them, ma'anin afflict them. You're not doing anything. Ein ma'anin. So what does Rashi say? Ein chayavin libnoa mehen maichol. You are not obligated to withhold food from them. You are not obligated to withhold food from them. So some of Farshim say, what if you want to? Sounds like it's okay if you want to. It's a reshus. Rashi doesn't say it's usur. Says ein ma'anin ein chayavin lemnoa. You look at the Ran here. The Ran quoting the Rambam also says no, it's usur. It's usur. It's sakana. And the Ran even says, unlike every other mitzvah of chinuch, you want the kid to shake a lulav when he's 3 years old. Okay, what is he doing? He says, okay, so let him shake a lulav. There's no downside. But here there's a downside, mishum sakana. So this is the one mitzvah, says the Ran, on top gimel in the Rif, says the Ran, I'll read you the Lashon, apa pisha b'shar mitzvahs imratza lahakdim chinucho shel tinok rat sho'ui u'mechanecho shel hazot ha-mitzvah kil chasa kagadol mamish, even though by all other mitzvahs, I have a very precocious child, so I wanna start very early. That's your prerogative. But hacha eino rashoi lachancho b'inoi kodim lezman shekabal lachachamim lechinuch shos lashlama. But here you can't go early. Why? Mishum sakana. It's dangerous. Why, you're being machmer, I want him to start early. No, he's not allowed to. Right? It's not healthy for him. So it seems to be a machlokas, Rashi Rambam, how to interpret this first line of the Mishnah. Is it, you don't have to, but it's allowed, or you're not even supposed to? Aval, you're not allowed to be ma'ana them, but aval machanchin osan lefnei shana v'lefnei shnatayim, v'shvil shi yigil b'mitzvos. But you should be mechanich them a little bit. We'll see this means at least maybe fasting part of the day, a couple hours, so that they're rugil in mitzvos. The words lefnei shana v'lefnei shnatayim are also unclear. There are many different pshatim. We're going to go with Rashi. Lefnei shana v'lefnei shnatayim. Lefnei shana means before a year before. Lefnei shana. So let's say that means 2 years before. V'lefnei shnatayim, before 2 years before, which means 3 years before. Let's take that translation of the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, so the, you're not supposed to make them fast the whole day, but you can be mechanich them 2 or 3 years before they reach Gil Mitzvahs. There's an important shuvah of the Trumas Hadashan quoted in the Ramah, where he quotes a Gaon who said that you should really try to prepare all food for your kids before Yom Kippur. You shouldn't have to be osik in the food on Yom Kippur. You might come to eat it. You know, maybe he's not going to go as far as say it's muksa. It's not muksa, but, you know, it's inappropriate to be there because you're really worried. There's a real shash that you're going to come to eat it. So the Truma Sedeshin quotes this that he does not think it's true. He says, I think, nearly, ain lahachmir, holo minig pasha shalol zart. People aren't zahir on this. You're not allowed to prepare food in the morning for afterwards, but you can give your kids food. You have to make sure it's ready beforehand. You're not allowed to cook on Yom Kippur. You don't have to make sure it's ready beforehand. Why? Because the other riot that this person quotes is chametz. By Pesach, you always see, chametz, people were very worried. Lo b'dili and shemine. But that's different because we're eating. We're just not eating chametz. So that's where we really have to be worried about food. But on Yom Kippur, nobody's eating. There's no eating on Yom Kippur. You're not eating anything. So there's much less of a chance that you're going to forget it's Yom Kippur when you're giving a food to a child. On Pesach, on a day that you're eating other foods, you're going to forget this food, that food. But when it comes to Yom Kippur, we're not eating anything, says the Shulman Sadeshen, he does not think that there's a problem. Chamisu l'kola olam, kamo nazir, it's like nazir for a yayin for a nazir. Wine for a nazir, nazir is drinking everything else. But wine, so he might forget. But he doesn't think Yom Kippur is involved, so therefore he says there's not even a lachachila to make sure all the food, you might want to do it, because you might not want to be osik on Yom Kippur, because you don't want to deal with food. But in terms of forgetting whether it's Yom Kippur, he does not think that that is an issue. Okay, says the Gemara, what did the Mishnah say? So you should start being mechanech your child 2 or 3 years before Yom Kippur. So the Gemara asked this obvious question. Hashta b'fnei shtayim mechanechem lehu b'fnei shana mibayi. So it says you should start 3 years before. So why does it say you should start 2 years before? You already started 3 years before. So says the Gemara, Amar v'chizel lakasha habachol habavari. It depends how healthy the child is. If it's a healthy child, a strong, healthy, robust child, so you can start 3 years before. But if it's a less and more of a weak child, so then you only start 2 years before. Amar afuna. So now we have a braisa. Amar afuna. We'll see, there are three shitas in the braisa. The first two agree with each other. Rav Huna, Rav Nachman, and Rav Yochanan. Rav Huna and Rav Nachman are going to agree with each other, but one's about a boy, one's about a girl. Amar Rav Huna, who we're going to see, is talking about a girl, Ben Ches u Ben Tes. An 8-year-old or a 9-year-old. We're going to see 8-year-old, Rashi learns this, a healthy 8-year-old or a weak 9-year-old. A healthy 8-year-old or a weak 9-year-old, Mechan Chenoso L'Sha'os. you start being mechanech them to fast a certain amount of hours, meaning delay breakfast. L'sha'os. Ben Yudu, Ben Yud Aleph. So 8 and 9 years old, we're talking about a girl, 8 and 9 years old, she's fasting a couple hours. Ben Yudu, Ben Yud Aleph, when she's 10 and 11, Mashlimin Midi Rabbanan. Then she finishes the fast on a Drabbanan level. Ben Yud Beis, once she's 12 years old, Mashlimin Midi Oraisas. Then she has to be Mashlim, she's Bat Mitzvah. She has to be Mashlim Midi Oraisa, Bitinokes. And this is all about a girl. So again, 8 and 9 years old, half days, 10 and 11 years old, whole days, Midi Rabbanan. And 12 years old, that is Daraisa. For Rav Nachman, Rav Nachman agrees, but he's talking about a boy. Ben Tess, Ben Yud. So he's just a late year, because boys are up to 13. Ben Tess, Ben Yud, Mechakon Osel HaShos, 9 and 10. Ben Yud Al, Ben Yud Beis, Mashlimin, Mid Rabbanan. Ben Yud Gil, Mashlimin, Mid Daraisa, Betino. And that's talking about a boy. So according to both Rav Huna and Rav Nachman, the rule is, you start 4 years before, in terms of half days, you start 2 years before in terms of hours. That's not exactly what our Mishnah said. That's what the Gemara is going to ask the Seer, because our Mishnah says 2 and 3 years before, not 2 and 4 years before. So as we'll see in a couple of minutes. For Rabbi Yochanan Amar, even just one ha'ara before we continue. The Tosfos Yeshanim here quotes a Gemara in Nazir, which says that there's no chinuch when it comes to girls. There's no mitzvah of chinuch when it comes to your daughters. Only to your sons, the Gemara says. Right, the Gemara said, look in the Tosfos Yeshanim, Kasholi, the first one. There's a Rashi at the beginning of Chagiga, which we'll get to in a second. But the Gemara there seems to say, Ha'ish Madir es Bino Benazir, and the Gemara is Medayek, Bino in Bito Lo, the Bito in Chayav Lachancha. There's no mitzvah. It's a nice idea, but is there a Chiyuv to be Mechanech the daughter? So says the Tosfos Yeshanim, no. So our Gemara says the fair. There is a mitzvah of Chinuch L'shaos when it comes to a girl. Comes to your daughter. V'yesh lomar. So he says, no. Of course there's chinuch by a girl. There's just no chinuch of nazirus by a girl. Even though a girl can be a nazir. It says isho isha. The beginning of parashat nazirus. But there is no ish mitzvah of chinuch by a nazir. Only by shar mitzvahs. What's the difference? What's the bir hadavar? Why is nazirus different? So says Rav Yashiv in his ha'aris. He says the difference is mitzvahs chiyuvis and mitzvah kiyumis. He says when it comes to a boy, there's a mitzvah of chinuch on all mitzvahs. Obligatory mitzvahs and optional mitzvahs. Mitzvah kiyumia. Nazir is an optional mitzvah. There's no chiyuv to be a nazir. So by a boy, there's even for optional mitzvahs. By a girl, that's the dipshad. By a girl, there's, of course, a mitzvah of chinuch, but only an obligatory mitzvahs. Kippur is an obligatory mitzvah. So that is what the pshat of the Tosfos Yeshanim says. He says, and this is also Rashi. There's a Rashi, off-quoted Rashi at the beginning of Masechas Chagiga, where Rashi seems to say that the father and the mother are mechuyiv in the mitzvah of chinuch. And that's against other sources that say it's only the father and not the mother. So Rav Yashiv again says, when is it the father and the mother by mitzvahs chiyuvios? Obligatory mitzvahs, everybody has to be mechanech them. The father, the mother, the kid's going to have to do it. Masha'eki, when it comes to mitzvahs chiyuvios for the son, so that already might just be the father, not the mother. But that is the chiluk between obligatory mitzvahs and choice mitzvahs, which the Rav Yashiv mentions. There is a Maritz Chayas on that Gemara Nazir where he asks a Kushya Atsuma in his words. A Bam Kasha. And what's the Bam Kasha? He said, what's the whole idea of Chinuch? The whole idea of Chinuch is that when we become 12 and 13 years old, we're not surprised, oh my goodness, I've never done anything in my life, and all of a sudden, wow, I have all these mitzvahs to do. We don't want it to be such a surprise. We want it to be a little mitzragel, accustomed to doing mitzvahs, so we start the mitzvah of Chinuch. So does it make sense to do Chinuch on mitzvahs that they might never do? So why is it Rebbechal, even Nazir is fine, the mitzvah Kiyumiyos, but Rebbechal says, just leave them to Sarachian. Why should there be a mitzvah of Chinuch on a mitzvah that might never be done? On mitzvahs, the whole idea of Chinuch is to get ready. Says, so if there's a mitzvah that the kid might never be a Nazir, who says he's going to want to be a Nazir? So why should what's the whole discussion in the Gemara? So Maris Chayis leaves that as a Kushya Atzuma. There are answers, but that's the Maris Chayis' comment on that Gemara. Back to our Gemara. So we have the first opinion in the Braisa, Rav Nachman and Rav Huna, who said that Chinuch starts 4 years before maturity. 2 years for fasting half days, 2 years for fasting whole days midrabanan. That's the first, that's Rav Nachman and Rav Huna. Rav Yochanan Amar, Rav Yochanan says, no, Hashlama derabanan leka. There is no such idea about a child fasting a whole day. No such thing. No such thing. So what is there? There's only fasting partial days. Ben Yud, and you start a couple years before. Ben Yud, Ben Yud Aleph, Achadkos Ola Shos, Ben Yud Beis, Mashlimin Midaraisa. For 2 years before you fast part days, and then then when you're bathed by a girl, so you're mashlim in midaraisa. But according to Rabbi Yochanan, there's no such thing as fasting whole days. So Tana, now we're going to try to reconcile these opinions with our Mishnah. Hatino, a little tedious, but again, because you're so seer in the pshatim, we'll just focus on Rashi. Remember how we interpreted the Mishnah. Our Mishnah says, you don't force them, but you're mechanich them 2 or 3 years before. That's what Lefnei Shana meant. Lefnei Shana meant before the year before, which meant 2 years, 2 or 3 years before. So Bishma Rav Huna Rav Nachman, how do you fit in the Mishnah, which says 2 and 3 years before, to Rav Huna and Rav Nachman, which said the chinuch starts four and two years before? So what's going on here? So says the Gemara, Bishma Rav Huna Rav Nachman, Lefnei. Right, the problem seems to be that the Mishnah says you start all chinuch 3 years before by a healthy child, and the Amudiz Amaram say you start 4 years before. That's the problem. Is it 3 years before or 4 years before? So says the Gemara. How could we interpret the Mishnah? Lifnei shana, lifnei shtayim. You know what it means? 2 years or 3 years before? This is what the Mishnah means. Lifnei shana l'divreihem, v'lifnei shtayim l'divrei Torah. Change that gears, so the Bach says. What does that mean? 2 years before Durabanan and 3 years before De'oraisa. Which means, when do they have to start fasting? When does their chiyuv start? They have to start their chinuch 2 years before they have to fast the whole day Midurabanan, and 3 years before they have to start fasting the whole day Midaraisa. That's what the Mishnah means. It's before, when does their chiyuv start in relation to their chiyuv of fasting the whole day? So lefnei shana, which means they start their chiyuv of fasting 2 years before they're going to have to start fasting midaraisa, which is 3 years before they have to start fasting midarbanan, which is 3 years before they have to start fasting midaraisa. That's how you fit in and push their shita into the Mishnah. El Rabbi Yochanan Kasha, according to Rabbi Yochanan, it's a Kasha. Because Rabbi Yochanan says that you have to start just 2 years before any chinuch, and the Mishnah says 2 or 3 years before. So Amar Lachar Rabbi Yochanan, Maishna Oshtayim Osamach Lepirkan. So Rabbi Yochanan says, take out the Lefnei in the Mishnah. Take out the Lefnei. It means 1 or 2 years, not 2 or 3 years. It doesn't mean the year before the 1 or 2 years. It just means the 1 or 2 years before. Okay, so we push these sheetas of the Braisa into the Mishnah. Tashma, another Braisa trying to fit in. The Tani Rabbi Shmuel Tino Kasi Ma'anos Abiyam Kippur. Abba Machanchan Osos Chan Oshtayim Samach Lepirkan. So this Braisa seems to be just the opposite. It says, Tinokos, you're not Ma'an of them. You don't withhold food, but you're mechanech them 1 or 2 years before their maturity. So this seems to be exactly Rabbi Yochanan. So Bishlam Ala Rabbi Yochanan Nicho. According to Rabbi Yochanan, fits in because he says chinuch starts 1 or 2 years before. El Rav Huna Rachman Kasha. Rav Huna Rachman says it starts way before that. It starts 4 years before. So how could this Brisa say 2 years before? So I'm the Rabbanan. My chinuch nami tekani tekani ashlama. No, the Brisa is just talking about whole days, and the other sheet is just talking about half days. The Brisa, when it says chinuch, it means when do they have to start fasting the whole day? When we call it chinuch hashlama, do we ever say use the lashon of chinuch for hashlama? Doesn't that chinuch usually just mean part days? But Hatanya, doesn't another Brisa say eiza chinuch hayiraga lecha b'shteishos machinos ol shalosh b'shalosh machinos ol ba'arba? Doesn't chinuch just mean push off breakfast by an hour? Doesn't mean fasting the whole day. So Amarava Barula, no, tria chinuch yavi. It could be used both ways. Chinuch can mean fasting the whole day. Chinuch can be used to mean fasting part of the day. So what comes out of this whole Gemara is that there are a couple of opinions. When does the mitzvah of chinuch start in relation to fasting on Yom Kippur? Again, the Minhag Yisrael is to fast the 3 fast days before Bat or Bar Mitzvah. That's the Minhag Yisrael. However, this is quoted in Shulchan Aruch, but that is the general Minhag Yisrael, and one should follow their Minhag. Okay. One other Ha'ara, and then we'll go on to the next Mishnah, and that is, the Stipler asks a beautiful question from the Ritva in Sukkah. There's a Ritva in Sukkah, also much quoted on Dav Gimel, where the Ritva says, chinuch only makes sense if you're doing the mitzvah properly, as it's done. To give your child a lemon instead of an esrog, and say, it's an esrog, because you want to save some money, and he's going to shake, that's not chinuch. Says the Ritva, that's not chinuch. Don't buy them. If you're buying them a cushion, a soft one, like to the, they know that's not a real lulav. And an esrog. They know that's a toy one. But if one is one's tricking, oh yeah, it's a lulav. Oh, I got you one without a pitum this year. You know, it's a lemon. But if you're tricking this, it doesn't make sense, says the Ritva. The Ritva says, chinuch only makes sense if you're doing the mitzvah kihil chasa. the Mahash based on the Gemara there. The Katzim Machadachos on the Mitzvahs, glasses on the Mitzvah, Behechsher Gomer Kagadol, etc., etc. But Hutzrachti Lichtov Ve'Alafisher Ra'isi Chachamim Toim Bazeh. Says the Ritva, I've seen people make mistakes about this, so therefore, that's the Shita of the Ritva. Okay, not everybody agrees, but it's the Shita of the Ritva. So I asked the Stipler in Sukkah and Simon Chaches, so what's going on in our Gemara? What's the whole idea of Chinah for 3 hours? What do you mean? The real fast, real Yom Kippur is the whole day. So if the Ritva is right, that Chinah only makes sense when you do it properly. So what's the whole idea of Chinah here? The Lashon is used in the Mishnah. Chinah, Mechanchin? What's fasting 3 hours? That's nothing. That's the disciple's kasha. He says, "I've seen, hey Rudy, somebody asked him, Matoel Zachanek the Chodah, but Taina shows halav mitzvah hiklal." So it says the stipler. He says, "No, it's not true. The assumption of the question is wrong." The Yesh Lomar says, "Let's say you would tell somebody on Yom Kippur, you would tell somebody at 11 a.m. He says, don't eat, and then he eats. 2 hours later, you say, don't eat, and he eats again. It's chayv too. Why? Because every moment of the tainus is a complete unit." It's not like other mitzvahs. You have a pasul esrog and a kosher esrog. Every moment of the tainus is a tainus sholem. It's every moment you've completed that hour. It's not one big unit. It's increments. So every unit of a fast day is a milestone. Every unit of the fast day is something that you've succeeded. The tainus l'shos in yanachrinahu. The kolsho v'shohu shir gomur. Dim hisru bal tocha al tocha v'achal chayva kol achila v'achila. The nimsa the kolsho mei tainus avi tainus gomur. So don't say that this is not a complete tainus. It is complete in its own way. So that is how the Gemara uses the term chinuch, even though we're not fasting the whole day. Leiter. Okay, so that's the issue of chinuch. Now we're up to the sugya of eating on Yom Kippur, Mishum Pikuach Nefesh. Very important daf. Which will continue, Be'ez Hashem, tomorrow, and the next day we'll get into later the general shitos about being Mechal Shabbos, what the different makoros are. Says the Mishnah, Ubra Shehiricha, a pregnant woman that smelled something, some food, and she is Bisakana, that she has to eat the food. Rishonim say this daf can mean it means anybody, but a pregnant woman, that's what the Mishnah is talking about. But really, it's anybody who is in danger on Yom Kippur. So what's the halacha? Ma'achilin osa achatasha nafsha. So you give her food until they calm down, right? You don't want to endanger anybody. Chole, stop there for a second. Ma'achilin, so dafka uses ubra though. There is a discussion in the Rishonim here, the Ramban and the Torah Adam. The Rosh quotes it here. What about if just the Vlad is in danger? Are we Mechal Shabbos or Mechal Yom Kippur just for the Vlad and not for the mother? Says the Ramban, quoting the Bahag, that based on the words of the Bahag, he thinks that just for the Vlad, let's say the mother's life is not in danger, just the baby. She might lose the baby. Are you Mechal Shabbos? Baby's not alive yet. So this is Machlokas Rishonim. The Rosh here, that's the main mucker for this sugya. The Rosh here quotes from the Ramban in Torah Adam, which is a sefer on Inyane Avelus. Sounds like you are Machalo just for the Vlad. And the Ramban quotes others, Mika the Sphirale, no, you're not Machalo. Because, right, only it's not a mamisha nefesh yet. Right, so therefore you're not Machalo. The Rosh then ends off and says, there's no Machlokas here. Because there's no Mitzius where there's going to be a danger for the Vlad and not for the mother. Says the Rosh, so the whole machlokas is moot. Because there's always a sakana for the mother. You'll never have a sakana for the Vlad, not for the mother. That's what we paskin. We paskin that the Vlad, the mother, for anything, we are Mechal Shabbos. Then there's even a discussion, the Ramban discusses there, what about, usually the mother doesn't know about it, but what about for a Vlad before 40 days? Are we Mechal Shabbos to save a fetus that's not really a fetus yet? Before we know 40 days is, there's a many halachas change at 40 days. In terms of chas v'shalom, if there's a tzorach for an abortion, or if there's, but 40 days is Maya Ba'alma, the Gemara calls it before. So are we Mechal Shabbos for Maya Ba'alma? So Rabban says yes. Other Rishonim aren't so convinced. Why? Rabban says we're going to have different makoros for why you're Mechal Shabbos. But one of them is Chal Shabbos Achas Kadesh Yispo Shabbosos Harbe. So you're right, it's not a nefesh right now, but you wanted him to keep Shabbos, you wanted to keep many Shabbosim in his life, or her life. So Chal Shabbos Achas, that applies even to a Maya Ba'alma. Even though it's not a nefesh anymore. So that's what, even, not just for a vlad, but for a vlad even before 40 days. So that's all. A lot of the action of Chilul Shabbos halachas is on this Mishnah. And they'll be showing them over here. So, we give food until she calms down. Cholim achil no sal pi bekiyim. If a person is sick, then we give food based on what the experts say, what the doctors say. It just says experts here. Do they have to be Jewish? They have to be Jewish, says the Tiferes Yisrael. No, they don't have to be Jewish. Any doctor who's a professional can give their opinion about whether we should be Mechal Yom Kippur or not. But the Tiferes Yisrael warns already a couple hundred years ago. One has to be very careful because many times doctors who are not connected to Yom Kippur basically say, don't fast, no matter what. Even though the woman is fast fine and it's a regular pregnancy, doctors generally say, whether it's to cover themselves, they don't want to get in trouble, b'zman hazeh, even those, even a couple hundred years ago, they want to take any chances. So again, the Rav has to weigh the sakana issues with what the doctor says. So any day other than Yom Kippur, basically will be mekel. Through Rabbanan, even Tisha B'Av will probably be mekel in most cases. But Yom Kippur is very serious. Kippur is very serious. That's why one has to really get somebody who is well versed in Yom Kippur. That's even Jewish doctors. You got to be. Yeah, it says the Bir Halacha talks about even Jewish doctors. You got to be careful about whether they're whether they're being honest, giving you an honest opinion, or they just don't want to worry about it. So they're going to tell you to give the woman or the person food. But anyway, as long as they're baki and they're being objective, the main shem baki, and if there are no doctors there, so you can listen to the patient. The patient says, "I need to eat or I'm going to die." Right, so if there are no doctors there, so you can listen to the patient and trust the patient. So let's move away from Yom Kippur and Shabbos for a second. Let's say a pregnant woman, again, or anybody else, that smelled kachim, karbanis, or treif, or pig, and they're going to die if they don't get this food. Tochvin la kush barotev. So you try to give them little by little. You don't want to give them the mamish, the piece of treif yet. So first you try, you stick let's call it a toothpick, into the sauce. Umanichal al pi, and you put like that toothpick taste right by her mouth, and you hope that works. Emnetiashva dai to mutav, you hope that helps. Vimlo machilin also rotev asma. And if not, okay, you give her some sauce. Give her some sauce, what can you do? Vimnetiashva dai to mutav, if that helps, fine. Vimlav, and if not, machilin also shuman asma, then give her the treif. Right, if her life's in danger, she hasn't come down, then you mamish give her the treif. Why? That's our rule. She'en lecha davar she'omi b'fnei pikuach nefesh, chutz mi'avodah zara v'gilei ra'etz v'shvichas damim. Except the big three. The big three are it, and those are the only three that we say yahareg v'ayavar. Everything else we say is not yahareg v'ayavar. Tomorrow, we don't have time now, but everybody come on time tomorrow, because we're going to start off with a beautiful maharal. We mentioned it once before in a Pirkei Avos here, a beautiful maharal about the big three. Why these big three? What's unique about these big three? So 6:11 tomorrow morning. Anyway, let's continue. Let's continue now. So says the Gemara, the big three: Shrichas Damim, Avodah Zara, and Gilui Reis. Why not Shabbos? Why isn't Shabbos? Shabbos a kilo over Avodah Zara. Shabbos, as you would think, if you are baking the list of the big three, wouldn't we throw in Shabbos? So the number of approaches given, the Meshech Chachma has one in Parshas Kisisa, but I saw it last night from the Maharal Diskin, Acharifus, Lushitasa. Maharal Diskin says, no, if you do Malacha on Shabbos because you're forced to, it's a Malacha Jain Tzrich Lagufa. Malacha Jain Tzrich Lagufa, you're not doing it for the purpose that it was done in the Mishkan, you're doing it to save your life. It's a Malacha Jain Tzrich Lagufa, then you're Potter. We're passing your Potter, it's not a Nisid Araisa according to Reb Shimon. So that's why you don't have to give your life, because it's going to be a Nisid Rabbanan anyway. That's what he says, why Shabbos is not included. So, what are the Makoros for the big three? So Avodah Zarah minala, and how do you know Avodah Zarah is Yahari Val Yavar? The Tanya, the pasuk we say in Shema. The pasuk over him nomar, I have to love Hashem, b'chol nafshecha b'chol modecha. In nomar b'chol nafshecha l'mar b'chol modecha. V'im nomar b'chol modecha l'mar b'chol nafshecha. Why does it say with all your soul and with all your money to take into account all different people? If person values his life more than his money, that's the b'chol nafshecha part of the pasuk. That's the b'chol modecha part of the pasuk. Either way, you have to love Hashem with everything, with all your belongings, with all your life, and that's the makar for giving up your life for Hashem, for Avodah Zarah. Gili Arayis v'shvichas damim minalan. How do you know Gili Arayis and shvichas damim? Minalan, Titania, the Brisa says, Rabbi Omer, this week's parsha in the Parsha of Onei Sumafata. The pasuk says, "Ki kasher yakum ish arei urtzacho nefesh kena davar zeh." Just like a person who murders, so too Gili Arayis. So ask the Gemara, what's the Torah throwing in Ritzicha with Gili Arayis? What's the connection? What's the connection between murder and Gili Arayis? So the Gemara says, it's the Torah is linking them. We learn things across each other. Just like by Nara Marasa, by Gili Arayis. If a man is running after a woman, Chas V'Shalom, to rape her, the woman is allowed to turn around and kill him. Right, if she can, he's a rodef, and she's allowed to kill him. So too murder. If somebody's running after you to kill you, then you're allowed to kill him in self-defense. So we learn self-defense Gili Arayis Teretzicha. And now we learn the opposite. Marot Seach Yehari Valyavar, just like murder. If somebody tells you to murder, you have to give your life. Yari Vayavar. Avnaram Arasa Yari Vayavar. So that's the makar for Nara Hamaorasa. The makar for Gili Arayis is learned out from Ritzicha. Now the Gemara says, but how do you know Ritzicha itself? Rosea Gufamina, what? How do you know Ritzicha? You have to give your life. It's Yari Vayavar. Svarahi. It is a svara. The who does the kami de Rabba? Armele. Somebody once came in front of Rabba. Armele. Armele Mari de Roy Katle Lapanya. The governmental person in my neighborhood says I have to kill so and so. If not, I'm going to kill you. So what am I supposed to do? So Amalei Rabba said to him, sorry, Niktalach, you have to be killed below Tiktal, and you cannot kill. My chazit, Zamidach, Sumak Tvei, Dilma, Dabdu, Gaber, Sumak Tvei, who says your blood is redder? Maybe his blood is redder. Meaning, there's usually, as Rashi explains, there's usually a mitzvah v'chai b'hem below Shayamas b'hem. You have to live by the mitzvahs. But here, somebody's going to die, so why should you choose who's going to die? Right, it's not your choice. Maybe his blood has more life than your blood, and therefore you can't kill somebody. You have to be killed. Ahu obra da archa. There was a pregnant woman who smelled something, and she had to eat on Yom Kippur, and her life was in danger. Also, kamei de Rebbe. Omer lo zila luchush la demek yipurihu. Go whisper to her and try to convince her. Tell her it's Yom Kippur. Tell her, you know, really try to calm down. Luchush la vilchasha. They did, and she accepted it. She's like, oh, she calmed down. So Kari Alei, they called about her the pasuk b'terem etzarech b'betin yitatich. Even before I was formed in your stomach, meaning very early on, she did something good for the baby. Nothing min Rabbi Yochanan that ended up being Rabbi Yochanan's mother. Or Rabbi Yochanan came out of that mother. Hu ober d'archa. Similar case. Also, came to Rechanina. A woman was pregnant that she wanted to eat. I came to Rechanina. Amaru luchushala v'loichisha. Rechanina said, "Go whisper to her," and she didn't accept this whispering, and she ate. So Kari Alei, they called about her a different pasuk. Zora Rishayim Erechem. Nothing in a shaptai atzer peyre came out of her shaptai who hoarded the marketplace. Used to make the prices very high in order, because he used to take a lot of the stuff off of the markets. So Rabbi Yasha points out, because this didn't cause him to be a Rasha. Right? Because she ate on Yom Kippur. It was Sakana. She was allowed to eat on Yom Kippur. So it must be that, no, once he turned out to be a Rasha, they said, oh, it started way back when. You know, it's not like Dr. This was Goremit. You can't say that. She had a heter to eat. But it must be afterwards, they said, oh, it even started at that point. Okay, we'll stop here. Pleasure to remember tomorrow morning. We'll start off with the Maharal on the big three.
Joseph Engel's question, because it says, Ad, give the shear, how much? You can't eat.
Meaning what?
Ad, shetashiv nafsha, not